Well, I want to talk a little about integrity. Isn't that a great way to go out? Talking about integrity. Now, we're going to flip it a little bit and say integrity, what does it mean in the life of the counselor, right? We have to have integrity. So let me ask you this question. How do you want to be remembered when you die? Come on, say it. What you say? A God-fearing woman of integrity, all right? Anyone else? How do you want to be remembered when you die? A loving mother? What else? Okay, so let her life so shine that people will see the God in her, right? Anybody else? Yes. Same thing she said, reflection. So now, here's the real question. Are you that person today? Are you that person today? See, I have gone to many of funerals over my lifetime, and I say oftentimes the preacher has to test the lie. Not testify. He has to test the lie. Meaning he has to get up there and lie over this person who was not such a great person, but they're like, oh, and you know, as soon as you die, you're an amazing person. Now, 30 minutes before you're dead, you're the worst one in the whole world. But once you're dead, oh my goodness, how amazing she was. Do you really want people to have to really make up or strive hard to say something good about you? Then we've got to ask the question, who are we today? Are we that loving, kind, gentle person? We are to let our life speak, as they were saying. But what exactly does that mean? What do you think that means? Let your life speak. What does that mean? Okay. All right. She said, be a living epistle. What else? I saw a hand. Be a testimony of what God has done and is doing in your life. Yes, ma'am. To model Christ. So in order to have someone who will say something good about you when you're gone, you've got to be that person today. You've got to model Christ today. Now, let me ask you something. How would you feel if someone said you don't have integrity? Would that sit well with you? She said they'd have to give me some examples. And what if they did? What if they rolled out the scroll and said, here's where I can see that you're lacking integrity in your life. But here's the thing. Is being thought of as someone with integrity important to us, or is having our way more important? Because sometimes we cut corners. We cut corners and take chances and we say, well, it's not really wrong. Like taking your pens from your job. Come on. The pens, the paper, the this, the that. That belongs to that company. Do you really live in integrity today? How would you feel if somebody accused you of that? It's like being called a liar. How would we feel if somebody says, you're just a liar? That would break my heart, right? Someone read Proverbs 10 and 9. He who makes his ways crooked, he who perverts his way will be found out. You know, my grandmother used to say, what's done in the dark will come out in the light. You know, God is such an awesome God that he will allow you to go on so long in hopes that you will repent before he exposes your sin to the whole world. And we know that to be true because we've often seen big time preachers on TV for the wrong reason. Now, their sin didn't just start that moment we saw it. It had been going on for quite some time. In this book, in this proverb, what we're seeing is we're seeing a contrast of the fate of the righteous versus the fate of the wicked. They're contrasting them. Deceitfulness is the mark of the wicked. So then clearly we're saying right now, this is not us. We're not deceitful. We don't lack integrity, right? This is not us. The righteous secure their place in the world, whereas a life of deception holds only the promise of detection and grace. Disgrace. So here's the question. What is deception? Ah, very good. Some Bible scholars. A lie. But what does it look like? A secret. Yes, ma'am. Yes. That's where it's like a false impression where no one else can really see that it's deception. And sometimes it can be ever so slight. Let's define integrity. Now, Carter defines it as the quality of possessing and steadfastly adhering to high moral principles or professional standards. So it's possessing and adhering. See, too often we say, I believe this, I believe this, I stand for this, I honor Christ's values in this way. But then we live opposite of that. Definition is possessing and steadfastly adhering to this thing that you say you possess. It's a faithful support of a standard of values. That means consistency. We're never going to be perfect, right? We're not even talking about perfection. But it's a consistent walk in a pattern of values that are hopefully based on biblical principles. Amen? It's the idea of a singleness of heart or mind. Who had Matthew 5? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's good. It's the singleness of heart and mind. James will help us round that out. Who had James 1? So when we say one thing and do another, what do we look like to the world? That we don't have a consistent, steadfast, stable, consistent pattern of values. We look double-minded, or as they would say on my side of the world, two-faced. You say one thing and you do another. And we say, well, we didn't intentionally intend to do that. Here are some examples. But before we go there, here's the question. Is a half-truth a lie? Well, how do you know that? It has some deception in there, right? But do we do this? Yes, we do. Ephesians 4:25. So if we are members of one another, then we should speak the truth to one another. Now, there's something called false flattery. Has anyone talked about that yet? Where you are, you, girl, I love that outfit. That is so, you don't like it. But you want something from her, either her approval or her friendship or something, or you want to be seen with her. So you say, oh, your hair is so pretty, so nice. That's not exactly what you feel. It's a falsehood because you're wanting something from them. Now, your counselees will often do this to you. Oh, you look amazing today. Now, I, you know, I'm a jokester. I always, you know, turn it around. I go, well, then, man, what did I look like yesterday? Oh, my goodness. Are you trying to tell me something? But we have to be careful of false flattery because that is a falsehood. And she just said we're to speak truth to one another. Now, truth to one another is also telling each other the truth. It's also saying when you are out of line or out of step. And that means we all have to hold each other accountable. Now, here's the problem. If no one can tell you about yourself, then guess what? You will continually fall forward. You understand what I mean? If you are that person, we're just going to say that person, where nobody can tell you anything. So guess what? Everybody knows they can't tell you anything, so nobody tells you anything. Which means what? You are so boisterous, so out of control, that they don't want to come to you and tell you the truth. Now, they should still march on in there and tell you, but it's you. Your heart is so hard and so callous and so cold, and you think you're right, that they can't tell you. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be that person. Now, we're going to look at our example of this falsehood, this half-truth, this deception in Genesis chapter 20. Now, anybody know the context of chapter 20 before we get there? Joseph, 20. Okay. 20. Okay, read it for us. Now, wait. So he says what? Now, we're talking about Abraham. All right. Keep going. Now, Abimelech, let's be clear. He is a pagan worshiper, right? Okay. So this is not a follower of the same people that Abraham and them follow, right? Keep going. Now, wait. So both of them have said, this is my sister and this is my brother, right? Keep going. In the what of my heart? Besides, I didn't really lie. Now, he didn't even learn. Did he learn?
No.
He didn't even learn. Because not even a half breath later, he goes on to do the same thing. Now, let's get this clear, girl. When we go up in here, now, remember what we said? Keep going. Okay, so that's good. So what's the point? What just happened? Delight. They both lied, but they told the truth. Abraham deliberately, he intentionally deceived others regarding his wife. Now, this is the second time that he's done this. He did this earlier in Genesis 12. Okay? So he is intent on being a disciple.